Hello, everybody. Hello, Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast fans. Thank you for joining us for another edition, and I'm here with my very special guest, Michelle Drolet, CEO of Tower Wall. Not just Tower, Tower Wall. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody knows that. And it's one word, too, is it not?
It is one word,
okay,
yes.
So we just want to get that out there. Because by the end of this show, Michelle, there are going to be so many people trying to find your company. So we just want to make sure
I'm
they know right from the
that.
Beginning.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, I want to kind of start out by asking you maybe who were some of your influencers? You know, to be a CEO of a major company and one that's grown a lot and thrive, who have been some of your influencers over the course of your career that have inspired you to do what you're doing?
So my number one influencer would be my mother, because she was a stay-at-home mom up until we were out of the house. My father was in the military, and so we moved. I went to 13 different schools.
Wow.
Three of them my junior year in high school.
Wow.
And I still was the secretary of the class. But
that's a small detail, but very cool, very cool. Okay.
But she actually started a business in when she was 48 years old, a custom home building business in Dallas, and became one of the top 10 builders in South Dallas by the time she was done.
Wow.
She was amazing, and she's a powerhouse.
Wow.
And she's a can-do kind of person, and that's what she's taught me.
How awesome. What a role model and inspiration.
It is.
So I've got some bad news for our audience. All of your fans, Michelle, watching out today, little do they know that you could have been leading the FBI. Like, if you had really followed your dreams, tell us why you didn't pursue your dream of being in the FBI.
Oh, I was so excited. I got that interview, and I had met my future husband around that same time, and I had to make a decision. Did I want to stay in Massachusetts or go in D.C. and go and have an interview? And I chose the first one, and I've been married 31 years and have three amazing...
Wait a second, Michelle. So the
amazing
nerve,
daughters.
The nerve of you. You could have helped our country, and you settled for your own personal passion and love.
I'm helping our country
Come
right
on,
now.
You are. Ironically, you're doing that anyway.
Helping our country right now.
So we knew, Michelle, you knew in one way or the other you were going to be helping the country.
Here we go. Absolutely.
It's great, great. So... So I always like, when we have entrepreneurs on the show, I always like to kind of understand what was that pivotal moment or what was that interaction they had with a situation, with another human being that kind of shaped their path or direction. And I know you were working in Texas, and if you could just kind of share what happened and how that started to pave the way for where you are.
Sure, absolutely. So I got transferred down to Texas with my then, I think she was about 9 months old. And so she and I commuted back and forth for almost 2 years. And one of my customers actually invited me out to lunch, which was kind of unusual. And so he said, you know what, Michelle, I really like working with you. I like your values. I like, you know, your ethics. I like how you do business. And I'd like you to come work for me. And I was like, wow. And then he said, you know what, beyond that, I'd like to give you a percentage of the company because I want to move back to Canada and run my Canadian organization, and I want you to run our U.S. operation. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. And he said, no, I have faith in you. And that was 23 years ago. Fast forward, we made a deal that we were going to build it to $1 million and did that, got sold. I got sold with it, unfortunately. But ended up buying it back in 1999, and, you know, we haven't stopped since then.
All right, well, so wait a second, though. Here's the thing, Michelle. You know, when you tell that story, here's what's going through my mind. You know, we do a lot of training at Mindset Go around emotional intelligence and self-awareness and perception. Here you are being asked out to lunch by one of your customers who knows you and likes you, and not only ask you to work for them, but ask you to run their company. And have you ever stepped back and thought about what kind of vibe of what you must have given off for someone to trust you? That, like, that's not an accident.
No,
if you're demonstrating, as an entrepreneur, it's so much around integrity and values and demonstrating who you are. So have you ever stepped back and said, geez, I wonder what he noticed specifically? Or maybe there was nothing, and it's just who you've always been and how you've carried yourself, and he just picked up that vibe.
I think there's a lot. I think God works in amazing ways to put people in your paths along the way to move and propel you forward. And I think that was part of it. my personality has always been a can-do person, and that's kind of stepping back. That's what I've taught our daughters, is you don't come with problems, you come with solutions. And that's who we are, and that's who I am, and that's how we run the organization. And that doesn't matter where I was in my career, I was always like that.
Michelle, do you think it's helped you at all over the course of your career? You really have a unique blend, especially for an executive. You have a unique blend of knowledge and expertise, but it, also compassion and understanding. And I think certainly a lot of the, it's typically gender related to gender thing, but in your case, to have the blend of both of those things is not always normal for an executive. How has that helped you in terms of building relationships with customers and doing right by people?
So this is funny. So we just have two new people that just started last year. And when they were going through the interview process, I said, we only have nice customers. We only have nice customers. And they're like, oh, come on. Come on, really? And once they started meeting our customers, they were like, oh my gosh, you only have really nice customers. And so I think that's just who we are as a corporation. So let me tell you this. So one of the stories or one of the things that my father said to me, and it's resonated, so he always said, you don't have to like each other, you don't have to love each other, but you always have to be respectful of each other. And that's how we run our organization. And that's what we do with our customers as well. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Well, and anytime I hear kind of where the influences come from, it also tells a lot. And certainly your parents were clearly huge influences for you. So, Michelle, I want to go to what I care most about, you know, when it comes to businesses is how businesses differentiate themselves. And I think we're in an environment where so many companies, certainly in your industry, but I think across the board, try to portray that they're an expert at everything and that they can do a little bit of everything. And what I think is really neat about Tower Wall is you have a very specific niche. And if you could kind of share, A, why you've chosen that niche. But this is the big piece too, Michelle. In addition to that, how you've been able to stick to it, because it must be so tempting as you've grown to branch out, but you're like, no, we're going to stay in our zone.
So we haven't always done that.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
We haven't always done that. I was, oh, yeah, we can do that too. I think I'm older and wiser,
okay.
So we don't do that. So, great question. Information security is so broad. There's so many different aspects and different facets. I mean, there's the technology, there's the policies, there's the processes, there's the vulnerability. There's all sorts of different things. There's the forensics. And so we chose to say, okay, we are the preparedness piece of an incident. And what that means is that we help organizations build. You wouldn't build a house without a blueprint. You don't want to build an information security program without an information security program plan. You need to have understanding of where you are, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there. And it's all based on risk. And so we help the C-level folks figure out what their risk tolerance is, and then help them build appropriate programs to build that.
Well, so interesting. So, you know, for me, one of the things I try to train people on is not to make decisions out of fear. And I think a lot of times fear plays a role because there's a lack of education and knowledge and understanding. So if you're a CEO and you either have a cybersecurity solution or you don't, how do you kind of know, wait a minute, what do I really need? And not just panic and kind of follow the lead of others. How do you kind of educate so they understand what the need is?
So different verticals have different needs, right? So you have Massachusetts has a regulation called the CMR 17.001.
Okay.
It's a privacy. Organizations that do business in Massachusetts that have Massachusetts residence information are obligated to protect it. They're obligated to have a firewall. They're obligated to have antivirus. They're obligated to have anti-malware. They're obligated to encrypt their information. They're obligated to have user awareness programs. And they're obligated to actually build a WISP, which is a written information security program.
Yes, I'm familiar with
okay?
that.
So you have to have that doing business in Massachusetts.
Regardless of your company size?
Regardless of your company size.
Wow.
Okay, well, I think it's 25 users
still,
above. I mean, but still.
But how many companies that size are even aware of that?
Right. So that's like one piece in Massachusetts that any CEO needs to understand. But let's say you're taking credit cards. So now you're PCI. So now you have to be compliant to PCI. Maybe you're a healthcare organization. Now you have HIPAA. Well, you're taking credit cards, so now you have to be PCI. Oh, and you're in Massachusetts because you're a hospital here. Now I have to be CMR compliant. Oh, well, we have a connection over in the EU. Well, now we have to be GDPR compliant. And you go, whoa. So what do I do? And so you look at that as a whole, and you build out a program, you know, depending on what those different pieces are. But what I always say to customers, Mark, is that even if you have everything checked off, doesn't mean you're compliant. It doesn't mean you're secure. You could be all those boxes. Yeah, we're doing it. But you're not patching something over there. Equifax, it was an unpatched application.
So there's a lot of acronyms you just threw out there, Michelle. Just throwing that out there. So, you know, Michelle, I have to tell you, over the last month, we've had another breach in Facebook. We've had a breach in Google just recently. And I had to tell you, you know my reaction? I don't know much about what you do as far as cyber. I'm not an expert in cybersecurity by any stretch.
Sure.
But you know what I said to myself when I read those stories is, I said, wow, those companies have to put an infinite amount of resources into cybersecurity. And if they're not getting it, if they're not doing it right, where does that leave us? Like, what's the climate now, Michelle? Because if Google and Facebook aren't getting it, who's going to get it?
I think the fundamentals of information security are still not being met. So patching, password changes, firewall updates, using the latest technologies for zero-day attacks and things like that. Did you know that they're on the dark web, you could actually go out as a hacker and rent software as a service, ransomware, less than $240 for a week. You can rent it, go attack, and then send it back.
I'm going to have to ask my partner in crime, Peter. I didn't even know there was something called the black web. So now I'm feeling really stupid.
Dark web.
Or dark web. There you go, dark web. Oh, my God. Michelle, I need you. I don't even know
yes,
about the dark web.
Yes, you do.
Okay. So anyway, building on that question, let's talk about, so I'm sitting there and trying to figure out what are two or three questions I should be asking myself as a business owner to either know I have the right solution or to know if I even need a solution.
So a couple questions. Again, you know, in your heart and your gut, what's your risk tolerance? Okay, that's question number one. Some CEOs don't care. You know, if we get hacked, and it's just the price of doing business. Other organizations do care and want to take care, and so that they put the proper, you know, pieces in place. So risk is the first question. Where am I vulnerable? Okay, so what type of data do I have that could, you know, act as some type of compromise? You know, could it create some really bad harm to the organization as far as, loss of business or something like that? You know, if something bad happened, would it put me out of business? Okay. Another, when we just talked about all those acronyms, is compliance. You know, organizations have certain obligations depending on what type of business they're in. I mean, we have verticals that we work with, so we work with higher education. And we work with financial organizations, we work with biotech organizations, we work with a lot of retail organizations, and then healthcare organizations. We have other customers out there, but those are our kind of sweet spots. All those organizations have different compliance ordinances that they have to follow as well.
So, Michelle, let me ask you a question. So let's say, if you had to pinpoint, forget cybersecurity, we're not talking cybersecurity now. If you were to determine the one most fundamental characteristic or quality in a relationship with another human being, what do you think it would be? What has to be there?
Trust.
So this is what was going through my mind as I was hearing you answer that question. I'm thinking to myself, all right, so let's say I have a breach. Let's say I have a problem with my company, because it's not going to happen to me. So let's say I have the breach, right? I'm thinking, okay, time, cost, rebuild. I'm thinking of all the different problems I could have. But this is what I don't think a lot of business owners get. What about trust? Because
reputation.
You can rebuild it, you know, whatever that incidental cost or time is. I mean, that's horrible enough. But how do you recover the trust in your customer base and the reputation? What is the cost of that? And I would imagine, and a lot of times when you're educating people on this, that has to be one of the major points you're making, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Michelle, before we wrap, I want to talk about an inspirational story. At the end of the day, we love helping people. We want to support and solve problems. But, you know, as entrepreneurs, you want to enjoy what you do and be inspired by what you do. And you had some pretty challenging experiences last year. And I would love for you to inspire our audience and share what you went through and how you were able to overcome, because it's pretty amazing. So with that said.
Sure. I'll start out actually with, and I don't know if you can see this, but I have a bracelet on my hand that says Unstoppable. And that was given to me by a customer and a dear friend. Last year, I got up. I'm a big exerciser. So I got up off of a BOSU ball, and a little bone in my ankle broke. I was in a boot. I was mobile. It was good. About 5 months later, I was coming out of a museum, and I hit a step, and I rolled my ankle. And I broke both outside bones, so I have a 4.5-inch plate on one side and 2 2.5-inch screws on the other side. At the same time, I had had some kind of funky stuff on a mammogram, and so had to go back in. But I couldn't because I was non-weight-bearing from May 13th until August 17th. And so as soon as I was able to walk, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so you know, through all of that, my team was absolutely amazing. I worked from home during the whole incident with my ankle, and then they continued to move our business forward as I went through the whole breast cancer. You don't know what people are going through and how horrific it is, but the outset, cancer-free, moving the business forward, and very blessed in every way. So,
Michelle, you are.
Thank you very much for letting me share that.
Yeah, you are really one of the very quality individuals we've had on this show. And I have to say, Michelle's being really humble. Let me tell you what really happened with her ankles, because she's just being humble. She was trying to relive her FBI days. She was chasing down some terrorists. And so she says she's on a BOSU ball and everything, but she was really chasing down terrorists to save the world. So just throwing that out there. No, Michelle, honestly, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's really been a pleasure to get to know you and hear how you're helping companies. And I got to tell you, I think about what you do, and we didn't talk about it on the show, but there's got to be a lot of pressure. I mean, you have a lot of responsibility in the role you play for companies. So the fact that you embrace it and are warm to that challenge is pretty neat.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman. Thanks to DaVideo Company for their tremendous job in producing these podcasts. Hope you have a wonderful day.